15. Ralph's cell phone rang just as he and Jeannie were entering the kitchen. It was Yoon. He had gotten the Marysville number of Lovey Bolton from John Zellman, the owner of Gentlemen Please, and had reached Claude with no trouble. "What did you tell him?" Ralph asked. "Pretty much what we decided on in Howie's office, that we wanted to interview him, because we're having doubts about Terry Maitland's guilt. Emphasized that we didn't think Bolton himself was guilty of anything, and that the people who'd be coming to see him were acting strictly as private citizens. He asked if you'd be one of them. I said you would. Hope that's okay with you. It seemed to be with him."
"That's fine." Jeannie had gone directly upstairs, and now he heard the startup chime of the desktop computer they shared. "What else?"
"I said that if Maitland was framed, then Bolton might be at risk for the same treatment, especially since he was a man with a record."
"How did he react to that?"
"Okay. He didn't get defensive or anything. But then he said something interesting. Asked me if I was sure it really had been Terry Maitland he saw in the club the night the Peterson boy was murdered."
"He said that? Why?"
"Because Maitland acted like he'd never seen him before. And when Bolton asked how the baseball team was doing, Maitland passed it off with some kind of generality. No details, even though the team was in the playoffs. He also told me Maitland was wearing fancy sneakers. Like the ones the kids save up for so they can look like gangbangers," he said. "According to Bolton, he never saw Maitland in anything like that."
"Those were the sneakers we found in that barn." Upstairs, Ralph now heard the moaning, grinding sound of their old Hewlett-Packard printer coming to life and wondered what the hell Jeannie was up to.
Yoon said, "Remember the Gibney woman telling us about the hair they found in Maitland's father's room at the assisted living place? From one of the murdered girls?"
"Sure."
"What do you want to bet that if we go through Maitland's credit purchases, we'll find a record of him buying those sneakers? And a slip with a signature on it that matches Maitland's exactly."
"I guess this hypothetical outsider could do that," Ralph said, "but only if he snitched one of Terry's credit cards."
"He wouldn't even need to do that. Remember, the Maitlands have lived in Flint City like forever. They've probably got charge accounts at half a dozen downtown stores. All this guy would have to do is walk into the sporting goods department, pick out those fancy kicks and sign his name. Who'd question him? Everyone in town knows him. It's the same thing as the hair and the girls' underthings, don't you see? He takes their faces and does his dirt, but that isn't enough for him. He also weaves the rope that hangs them, because he eats sadness. He eats sadness."
Ralph paused, put a hand over his eyes, pressed his fingers to one temple and his thumb to the other.
"Ralph, are you there?"
"Yes, but Yoon, you're making leaps I'm not ready to make."
"I understand. I'm not 100% on board with this myself, but you need to at least keep the possibility in mind."
"But it's not a possibility," Ralph thought. "It's an impossibility." He asked Yoon if he had told Bolton to be careful. Yoon laughed.
"I did. He laughed. Said there were three guns in the house, two rifles and a pistol, and that his mother is a better shot than he is, even with emphysema. Man, I wish I was going down there with you."
"Try to make it happen."
"I will."
As he ended the call, Jeannie came down with a thin sheaf of paper.
"I've been researching Holly Gibney. Tell you what, for a soft-spoken lady with absolutely no clothes sense, she's been up to a lot." As Ralph took the pages, headlights spilled up the driveway.
Jeannie grabbed the pages back before he could do more than look at the newspaper headline on the first sheet. "Retired cop, two others saves thousands at Mingo Auditorium concert." He assumed Ms. Holly Gibney was one of the two others.
"Go help her in with her luggage," Jeannie said. "You can read these in bed."